Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. Rain. Boise, Idaho, not fun. Although it was fun last night. Cofield and Company just getting started here early. 2 o'clock start. Jeff Parles is on the scene, manning the set at the Treasure Island Golden Circle Sports Bar. Mr. Parles, how are you?
I'm good. Happy as always to be down here on the strip at the Golden Circle. Good crowd for 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday.
Happy hour going down right now. It does 7 days a week at the Golden Circle. 10A to 6B, that's Golden Circle, Gillies, and the Breeze Bar. But get over to where Jeff is at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. And we get all this great college football tonight with championship games, including the Mountain West title game right here in Boise, Idaho. Cofield set up in Boise, and I swear the weather never changes here. It actually was pretty nice for the October game, but my memories of last year here for the title game, it was dank, foggy, and 27. Right now it's dank, foggy, and 41, but it's also raining. I don't know if it's going to be rain during the game or just sort of misty, but I think it's going to be a factor in this one. Not the easiest playing conditions, and I think the thing that's kind of maddening, Jeff, is because there is no real tiebreaker, Boise and UNLV should feel fortunate that they're in the title game, but this certainly is not weather that's advantageous, I think, to UNLV's offense.
No, it is not for either offense, and especially in a game where there's health questions on the Boise State side, and you're in a scenario for UNLV where, again, this first time you're trying to beat third crack at Boise before Boise leaves to go to the new Pac-12. But look, 41 degrees, that's balmy in comparison to what you had last year for this game.
Well, but the rain doesn't help, and I wonder what ball security is going to be like you said, for both teams. Maybe more of a grinder type game. Who knows? Maybe there's a couple of blown coverages with guys falling down. Receivers know where they're going. Obviously, the defensive backs don't know where the receivers are going. So the weather could be an absolute factor in this one. I didn't look at the latest number, and I should have, because we're doing a 2-4 show today to preview this game. But I know this morning it was 5, and the total was 58.5. Has there been action on the under here? Once people see the weather, I wonder if people are going to kind of slam the under, or because the last time was what, an 87 total, people are afraid to play any sort of under when it's sitting at 58.5 between Boise and UNLV.
Well, they've gone the other way. It's 59.5 now, Cofield.
How about that? And the number is now 5.5. This is what a crazy shift with this number, because FanDuel actually posted it. UNLV minus 1.5 as a favorite, and it's now shifted all the way to 5.5 5 days later.
Is it wrong of me to say that both of those numbers are not right? I don't think UNLV should have been open to favorite, and we're pushing six almost now. Right. I think that's a little bit nuts.
Well, it was 56-31 the first time around, and if you believe that Maddox Mattson is that much of a difference maker, which is actually one of the keys to this game, because I think a lot of the fans here, well, first of all, they don't like Maddox Mattson. They think he's just kind of average. And the kid Cutforth actually started playing some pretty good football the last game and a half. So I think there are some people here who are like, why are you making the quarterback switch? But we know why he's making the switch. We know why Daniels is making the switch back, because he's loyal.
I don't think it's the right one. Especially with what you're saying with this weather tonight. I mean, it's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. It's not the best for a guy coming off that injury. And again, it was supposed to be a season-ending one for him.
You thought so, yeah. And he's, from what I was told in earlier conversation, we're going to talk to Mike Prater a little later in the show, towards the end of the show, right before we go to the Ted Weans pregame show. Mattson's got injuries with both feet. And then I think he's got an upper body issue as well. But these are foot and ankle and, you know, lower leg injuries. So we'll see what he looks like. There was a video put out by BJ Raines, who's one of the local media guys up here. And all of a sudden that video of Maddox Mattson early in the week got sliced and diced. They're intense here, man. They're intense. And I know Las Vegas are going to be super intense going into this one, want to see much better defense from the Rebels. And that's the biggest question of the game, is the Rebels really left a lot of gaps, poor assignment football, really kind of broke down as the bad plays, just kept building on top of bad plays. And the defense just has to keep it together mentally, and then I think they're very much in this game.
Do we even have to look at the UNLV defense as the same unit as it was the last time they were up there? I mean, it's really not. Everything has completely changed since that horrible stretch, that Air Force game, obviously the Boise game, and then the game against New Mexico, which is why this game is you're up at the Blue Turf as opposed to just down the street from me here at TI. But again, it just feels like these two teams. I know Boise won that game, came from behind in Logan last week. Just feels like both of these teams are on different trajectories going into this game.
Yeah, I think the issue is, though, a lot of the same players who were making the mistakes are still getting playing time. And those are the guys who kind of made less mistakes the last four games. They've also played three or four teams that weren't as dangerous, couldn't take advantage of mistakes if they did make mistakes. I think they've got it straightened out. I know playing time is being distributed a little bit differently now. And guys like Trey Fulton, who's one of the safeties, when they first played up here in the middle of October, I think he had freshly gotten a big club put on his right hand. So his playing time wasn't consistent. Blessing Alu Tuilomotu, who we're going to talk to a little later in the show, he actually didn't play a whole lot in this game. It was other linebackers who played. And the linebackers are some of the biggest keys, because not only up front do they have to take care of gaps, but obviously the defense is designed so that linebackers are finishing things. And if they're in the wrong spot, then that's when you get breakouts of, 15, 25, 50-plus yards on runs.
Well, and this is a Boise offense that can make the big play. And also, you mentioned this yesterday where, look, Madison is not necessarily a running quarterback, but in these games against UNLV, he has managed to have one game-breaking big run against the Rebs, and that's just something that if that happens tonight, that's a bad sign for UNLV, especially with Madison coming back.
Middle of the field discipline, right? When things break down, there's still got to be someone who's within hailing distance of Maddox Madsen. I think, to my recollection, last game he had a 25-yarder. The game before that, he had a 14-yarder. The game before that, he had a 49-yarder. And he's not a jet out there. He's not as fast as Anthony Calandria. But if you leave the whole middle of the field open or everyone's on one side, then that presents big-time problems. We'll take a timeout here as we are rocking and rolling here up until 4 o'clock before the Ted Weins pregame show. We're getting ready for the Mountain West Conference title game right here in Boise, Idaho. Boise State is hosting your Rebels. On the way back, we'll talk to one of the legends of the Rebels from the early 2000s.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on here on this Friday. Treasure Island is the spot. Golden Circle Sports Bar. Jeff Parles is manning the set there. It's Cofield here inside the grocery store stadium. Boise State. As we'll try to get some images out of what it looks like here. Ugly weather day will absolutely have an effect on one team or the other or both. Adverse conditions, but wouldn't work any other way in Boise, which can be a weather hellhole. And tonight it's going to be a challenge for the Rebels and for the Broncos. So, Parles, you said the over is now actually ticking up.
59.5 here at the Golden Circle Station Sportsbook, Cofield.
What do you want to do with that?
Stay away from it. Realistically speaking, if you told me that this game was 27-24 or 38-35, I'd be willing to listen to both. I think this is probably closer to a 27-24 game, but I don't know. Which obviously I've mentioned two scores by three. It doesn't matter who wins the game. Rebs are going to cover. So I'm stunned that this thing's got all the way to 5.5. I don't think Maddox Madsen, where he clearly can't be 100% for this game, is worth that much to the number, especially when the guy who was in last week, he played really well in the second half against Utah State. And that was the best he's played, basically, since taking over. I'm still a little surprised. I know what you said earlier, a little surprised Spencer Danielson made the move.
I'm not that surprised. This is the guy who's gotten him here the last, couple of years, and there's a loyalty factor. And we're also, I'm not at practice. We're not at practice. We don't know what Cut Forth looks like, how difficult it's been to get him to this point. This is a veteran leader in Madsen who you can trust, who's played really good football. And guess what? If he's really struggling and the injury looks like it's hampering his performance, then he'll be pulled from the game. Let's talk to one of the guys who helped build this whole thing back in the early 2000s, and where UNLV is right now is incredible. The progress it's made now in a third straight Mountain West Conference title game. Dr. Tony Urell is known by a lot of folks who watch UNLV football for years as a a big fella who made the all quarter century team and a road grader from the past, and then he's at all the games. And last year I was able to defeat him in a donut eating contest, probably my biggest achievement of my career. What's up, Doc? How are you?
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having me on to be able to share my Rebel pride.
So give me your excitement level and kind of put it in perspective. And, you know, I don't expect you to say, hey, we were terrible back in the day, but because you guys weren't. But the growth of the program is pretty incredible. And this spot, a third straight year, the Mountain West Conference title game, is really cool.
Phenomenal, Steve. The pride and joy, it's hard to express in words. Being on that sideline, seeing this team be in three consecutive bowl appearances and breaking the curse, the 20-plus year curse last year. I mean, I can't be more elated or proud of this team. And Coach Mullen has done a phenomenal job with the team and getting them to come together. And I've been very impressed with what I've seen the last few weeks.
You're around Mullen enough to get a good read on him. Can you describe him as a coach? What kind of coach is he?
I think he embraces a freedom within structure. He allows the guys to be themselves, but I have seen him get heated when they go outside of the lines a little bit too much. There was, if you watch his meetings every Monday, there was a time when, you know, he was, you know, very kind of hands-on with Bradley, and then you've seen Bradley kind of grow and expand in his role. Because he's proven himself. And so I like how he lets the guys be the guys. Coach Robinson, may rest in peace, he was like that. We had a bunch of personalities on that 2000 team, but he let us all come together as a team and be ourselves, and that helped us play with reckless abandon.
What do you think about Anthony Calandria as quarterback?
You know, I didn't know what to think of him initially, but goddamn, I would love to block for him. He doesn't complain. He brings a lot of juice to the game. I like when he uses his legs and his arm. I would love to have the chance to block for a quarterback like him. He respects his O-line from what I can see. He doesn't talk that much. He's cool, calm, collected like Sunshine from Remember the Titans on the sideline. And he has his own little swagger as well. I love that kid.
Tony Terrell's with us here on Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. And we're getting ready for UNLV and Boise in Boise, Mountain West Conference Championship game. What do you think of this era? Because there are new challenges. What do you think of this era in terms of putting rosters together, retention? There could be, you know, money issues within a locker room, the NIL era. What do you think?
It's definitely challenging for a coaching staff. I think you have to continue to do things to bring the focus to the team. I know Coach did a lot of bonding experience with the guys early out. Hopefully the guys can see the importance of no matter how much you're making on the NIL, you need that brother, that person right next to you to bring all your dreams to fruition, where most hope to play beyond college football. And so if you win together, then all of you will shine and all of you will rise to the top, right? And you get that attention and notoriety. So if you make history tonight, a lot of doors can open for you.
Tony, just looking at, I hate to bring up the weather, but again, this conditions that UNLV might not usually be used to, cold, potentially wet. How much does that impact, do you think, a team that, again, not like it hasn't been cold here recently, but just how much do you think that could play a role for the Rebs tonight?
Not at all. We've played in the rain, sleet, and snow. We've burned the boats. We've been to the mountaintop 3 years in a row, and we're taking the gold this time. We're tired of losing, and we're tired of people underestimating us. We've gotten no love on the conference TV shows, and all of the newscasters didn't talk about the Mountain West. We're gonna hear them talking about us after tonight is over.
Go back to your 2000 team that played in the Las Vegas Bowl and beat Arkansas, and just kind of what the atmosphere was like at the time and the sense of school pride when you guys broke through and you won a big game.
Great question, Steve. We were tired of losing. Being 0-11 in 1998, we were tired of losing. And we showed the world. We showed Arkansas and the SEC what UNLV football is all about. 31-14, we rushed for over 200 yards. We put in the work. At some point, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And tonight, I want those guys to show up. I want those guys' power level to be at affinity. The weather, nothing should stop. You should be empty. You should be exhausted after this game. Don't leave anything out there. Put everything on the line.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I got a text from someone outside the market who follows a different team in the Mountain West Conference, and they were like, you know, what's the motivation going to be like for UNLV tonight? And I was like, well, they want to break through against Boise. And the other thing is when you build a roster the way Mullen kind of had to because, you know, you're putting things together late, they had 29 guys walk on senior day. I'm guessing about all but six probably are done eligibility-wise. So they have a lot of one-and-dones. Like, this is the last two games of your career. I mean, if you're not motivated for something like this, right, Doc? I mean, what are you going to get fired up for?
Yeah. I mean, this is it, right? Every play, every snap, you should be putting it all out there. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Portal doesn't open up till January. All you should be worried about is beating the man in front of you. Like Coach Robinson used to have us do, focus on the challenge in front of you. Even if they know that the play is coming, you still should dominate. I want to see that offensive line, the interior lines dominate tonight, have good gap integrity, O-line stay on the blocks. I want to see those linemen come alive today.
What do you think it's like, and you know, based on your offensive lineman experience, what do you think it's like blocking for a guy like Jet Thomas, who even if he just gets a little hole, all of a sudden you can be looking up, finishing off your block, and he's 30 yards downfield on his way to a 50-plus yard run?
Steve, all you got to do is play basketball, be a moving screen, right? Just get in the way. I like to be able to maul a guy. I like to be able to take a guy to the ground. Sometimes these days you may be caught a holding penalty for that. But, I mean, just get in the way. Just stay on your block. Just stay on your block. Get in the way, right? Cause a little confusion. And that's all he needs. We got the skill positions. Offensive line just has to stay on their blocks and dominate.
What do you think of this defense and what they've done? We're talking to Tony Terrell, who, of course, played for UNLV football, is a Hall of Famer, just made the quarter-century team. What do you think of this defense and the progress they've made, especially in the last four games?
Steve, unexpectedly, I went out to practice Tuesday night. It was a full moon. And I seen these guys really locked in and focused. But I think Coach has mentioned it before, or different broadcasters have mentioned it before, is it's kind of like a laid-back thing. I don't think these guys are really get scared too much or get too nervous or overzealous. I had a good moment with Chief Borders. He came over and embraced me. Thank you for my support. And I feel like that kid is a man-child, and he's going to come alive tonight, too. I predict two or more sacks from him.
I will use Chief forever as a great example of what the transfer portal is, because I think people will judge guys who bounce around. They'll look at someone like Chief Borders and they're like, wait, how many schools has this guy been at? Oh, he must be a low character guy. He must be a troublemaker. You know, can they keep him under control? And he's been anything but. Like, almost immediately when we saw him out there on the field, he was a leader. Off the field, he's a leader. Really impressive kid.
Yeah, I can't say enough about him. There's some other guys that haven't flashed in a while, like Amaris Brown. I want to see him come alive too in the secondary, because they will mix in the run and pass. And I feel like that defense has tightened up in the last 3 weeks.
Well, Doc, I appreciate it. Sad you're not here. It'd be I'd love to have you on the sidelines. Probably cover me up in the rain. You're a lot bigger than me, so.
It's killing me. I don't know. I'm shaking right now. I don't know if I would. Coach would have probably had to send me up to the stands right now. I'm a little too pumped up.
There you go. All right. Well, enjoy the game. We'll check in with you when we get back into Vegas. Thank you.
Will do. Thanks, Cofield.
There he is, legendary offensive lineman for UNLV, Rebel quarter century team, Tony Terrell with Steve Cofield and Jeff Burles. We'll step aside here as we are live in Boise getting ready for the title game. 5 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. Las Vegas, as UNLV is a 5.5-point dog. They've lost 10 straight in the series. I mean, a lot of it goes back to football in the 70s. Technically, they haven't beaten Boise since 1976. But of most importance, recently, they've struggled a little bit in the series, and especially defensively, and that's going to be the biggest thing tonight. Can they get it done defensively? Down at the Golden Circle Sports Bar, they've got happy hour going on right now. It's 7 days a week, 10A to 6B, $5 on the draft beers. You know the menu is absolutely tremendous there. They've held the prices in line. So you park for free out back. You can't do that anywhere else on the strip. Take advantage of the 55-plus TVs. The sports book right there, STN Book, is in the house. And go visit Jeff Prawls. He's got some prizes as well. We'll come back, and we got plenty more good conversations. We'll talk to Anthony Calandri, the quarterback of the Rebels.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Kickoff in 2.5 hours. UNLV on the road for the Mountain West Conference title game. Third straight appearance in this game. And one of the big reasons the Rebels had a great season was and is Anthony Calandria, who won the Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year award. I caught up to Anthony a couple of days ago, and that's how I started the conversation, asking him about the award and how it feels.
It means a lot, but it doesn't happen without all my teammates, offensive linemen, receivers, running backs. Those guys put in so much work, and just a huge blessing to play with this football team.
What did you expect when you came here to UNLV in terms of what level you could reach?
I expected, and everyone else expected, a championship. I knew when I first came here, I seen the work that I was going to put in. I seen the grind that the guys were putting in the workouts, and I knew everyone here wanted to win a championship, and we get to go do that this weekend.
How about your level when you were at Virginia and what you thought, hey, I'm going to go to UNLV, I'm going to work with Dan Mullen, this is what I got to get better at?
No, for sure. I think coming here and with Coach Shannis and Coach Mullen, just wanting to be developed as a quarterback and wanting to really learn how to play quarterback. Coach Mullen and Coach Shannis have had a bunch of quarterbacks that they've sent off to the NFL, so I really wanted to just come here and be developed.
Anthony Klander is with us. You guys had some good storytelling after the last home game, and you were going back to the spring, and I wanted you to kind of retell that story because I don't think a lot of people saw it. What was the spring like? Because you had mentioned something about, and so did Coach Mullen, about your completion percentage. So what was going on in the spring to your recollection?
Yeah, I know the spring I really was just going out there and playing like backyard football. I was just trying to run around and really wasn't playing quarterback. I had a super low completion percentage. It was like something like 55%, 40%, something awful. And I think, again, with Coach Shannis, throwing the offense more, again, with Coach Mullen, just finding ways how to play quarterback, how to be really good at the line of scrimmage, and just trying to find completions. That's the biggest thing. You find completions, it's going to be a good thing for you playing quarterback.
So what was kind of the come-to-Jesus moment where you're like, you know what, I need to take the easy throws?
Yeah, no, I would say I made one play, and it was a super dumb play. Coach Dennis got after me for it. And he really just put it in perspective on, like, if you want to play quarterback at the next level, you just can't be doing that stuff. And it's super true. So after that day, I kind of stopped doing all that stuff.
Your relationship on the sidelines, well, first of all, Dennis is upstairs, so I have no idea what's going on in the headphones. I know when Mullen comes over, I almost never see him, like, screaming at you.
Yeah.
Would you like that kind of coaching, or is this the sort of coaching that works for you where everyone's sort of calm and we're thinking?
Yeah, no, I think he's a great coach, and he knows how to go about it. He definitely does scream and get after me, but there's some things and some things we just talk about, and we don't have to scream or argue about. We just talk about and find the resolution for it.
Did you get to use the tablets last year at all?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
How much do they help? Because I point out all the time when I'm on the sidelines, I'm like, I don't see Anthony Calandria do much in terms of celebrating or talking to other players. You are right to that tablet, and immediately then you're shaking your head kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, how much has it helped?
Yeah, no, I feel like it helps a lot. You really get to see post-snap and pre-snap stuff, and especially things that defense do. When they give you stuff that you don't study or you don't see in recent film studies, but no, it's super cool though to have that on the sideline.
What were the vibes in Reno? That game's really important to Vegas. A lot of you guys are brand new to this rivalry.
Yeah.
Did you know about it beforehand? Could you feel it during the game?
Yeah, no, it got loud. It was super loud. We were backed up and we had to go silent for a couple plays, but no, it was an awesome environment to play in. It's a good rivalry to play in too.
How does it compare to rivalries you've been involved in the past, like VTech and Virginia?
Yeah, no, I would say it's up there for sure.
Yeah.
It's up there for sure. Reno's, they're a really good football team, and it's a competitive football game.
You know, when I was talking about, I don't see a lot of yelling and, you know, gesturing and all that. I also hear Dan Mullen all the time take blame for stuff. So what's your take on him saying, you know what, that first half interception at the end of the half, that was my fault?
He could say that, but I was out there. I'm the one throwing it. I shouldn't have threw it up to the DB, but no. We were on different pages there, and Coach Mullen's awesome. Though we both understand each other, and we just try to come together and solve the problem.
You guys were up big, and you threw a second one. I saw you on the sidelines. You were really angry. You were like throwing stuff down. How come you got so angry?
Yeah, no, that one sucked. It was a certain look that we've seen all practice, all week in practice, And we just were on the same page, and I threw it straight to the guy, so that was a bad deal.
You scored a touchdown run. You've generally danced a little bit when you can. I saw the security was like, get out of here real quick. Do you have a certain dance you do every time you rip out a different one?
No, I think we come up with TikTok dances during the week. We'll just send one. The receivers will send one to the group chat, and we'll just do it in the game.
Do you feel pressure to get the ball to certain guys? Mullen talked about the balance and so many receivers getting passes, and he told a story about Tayshaun Lyons as an example that Tayshaun, I think it was in the Miami of Ohio game, I'm kind of brooding a little bit on the sidelines, and coach was like, hey, calm down. Do you feel pressure to get it? Well, you have so many weapons.
Yeah, no, I don't really feel any pressure, because my thing is with all of those guys, I have so much faith and trust in all of them. I think all of them are extremely good football players, and I really have no pressure because I know when I throw them the ball, they're going to go make plays.
What percentage of the playbook do you think Mullen is really and Dennis have really released on you so far?
Percentage. I would say right now, I think almost 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, almost 100%, I would say. Coach Mullen has a lot of faith, and Coach Dennis, they have a lot of faith and trust in me and the offense on getting the certain plays and certain looks for different defenses and stuff. So, super cool.
It feels like in the last 4 weeks or so, there have been more long developing plays, mm-hmm. which means that the O-line has to block.
Yeah.
Because you're back there for a while.
Man, the offensive line has been playing their tail off the past couple of weeks and the whole season. So, just huge credit to those guys. The offense doesn't run without them. So, man, it's a blessing to have a really good offensive line.
Let's look back on that first Boise game. You guys did pretty well in the first half. You hummed along 24 points. Second half, it kind of all stalled. When you look back on that game and even after the game, what were you thinking as to why the second half went the way it did?
Yeah, no, I feel like we just didn't execute in the second half. We missed some shots. We missed some stuff up front. I threw a pick six, and when you turn the ball over, it's tough to win, especially versus a really good football team that Boise is. So I think the biggest thing is just execution.
Every defense offers different things. Have they been one of the defenses that disguise the most, or is it pretty straightforward?
Yeah, no, they disguise. They do a lot of different things in the defense. They have good players, too, so it's good to disguise stuff when you have really good football players.
Anthony Calandri is with us. The last couple questions. It's got to feel better now the way the defense is playing. Because I'll tell you, the vibe in the Boise game, well, I don't know if you guys were thinking of, like, we have to score every freaking time, and obviously things have changed. Mullen has said it kind of relaxes you guys a little bit if you know the defense is going to get stops.
Yeah. No, I feel like our defense is playing extremely well, and that's always our goal as an offense. We want to go score every drive. But no, I just think if we play a complete game, we go get the job done Friday.
Was there anything the first time in terms of environment, the crowd, just pregame setup that you learned maybe you didn't know that you'll be more comfortable this time?
Yeah, no, it's loud. Boise, it gets loud. I didn't really think it was going to get that loud, but no, it's super loud there. So that was a big deal.
There he is, Anthony Calandria. And believe me, he got a good dose of how loud it can be. I don't know what it is here when it's freaking rainy and dark. And Parles, I went back and watched some videos because I try to keep a lot of this stuff, that videos I take. Last year's Mountain West Conference title game, and I was just watching what it sounded like on the field for the offense, for UNLV, and this place. I mean, it is deafening. So haven't been here once. At least, Calandria at least has the experience of feeling that and kind of knowing what he's walking into this time. I think that's important.
Very much so. Very much so, and it's good for everybody, right? It's even good. It's good for Mullen too, right? I mean, even though obviously he's been in all those crazy environments down south, but hey, look, it's definitely the fact that UNLV's already been on the blue turf once this year definitely helpful here tonight.
On the way back, let's get a look at the entire championship title game picture with Sammy P. We'll also hit on some NFL spots as well. We're live in Boise. We're live in Vegas at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. It's Parles. It's Cofield. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we're going to hook up with our guy Sam Paniadovich here in just a couple minutes, but a massive night leading into a massive day tomorrow of college football with a lot on the line in some of these games, Jeff. What's the game, and it doesn't have to be UNLV and Boise, what's the game you're most looking forward to today, tonight?
The American Championship game, because of the playoff implications. Again, the only way that the Mountain West winner could get in is if Duke beats Virginia tomorrow, and James Madison loses as a gigantic favorite, so no playoff implications in Boise, even though there are a lot of implications for the UNLV football program tonight, obviously. But I'm most intrigued by the American game. You know, I'll just say this. I was not a huge Jake Retzlaff guy last year at BYU. I thought that team last year was super, super lucky. I didn't think he played that well most of the year. When they lost that game to Kansas, they lost that game to Arizona State. He didn't play well in those games. I think he's fit his level of competition perfectly in the American. Notice the worst game he had all year was against Ole Miss. And now he's playing a North Texas team that, look, great story. Morris is going to, the coach is going to Oklahoma State. Meistermaker, I mean, kid didn't even play in high school his last year. And he's been this massive star. But I think the wrong team's favorite here in this game, too. I was stunned that North Texas is a road favorite. I do like Tulane tonight at home. They're very difficult to beat at Yulman. And also, too, this is very possibly the last game. Well, if the loser of this game, it'll be the last game for their coach before they go on to, they hope, greener pastures.
Let's bring in Sam Panayotovich to give us what Vegas is doing, what the Sharps are doing, what his expert friends and he's doing in terms of betting this weekend. Sam, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. I just keep watching these guys bet Boise. I mean, they're betting them like they got tomorrow's paper. This number was, you know, 1.5 on the open. I see a 6 at Circa right now. A lot of 5.5. I mean, this has just been bet and bet and bet. And I texted Chris Andrews, South Point, yesterday. I'm like, are they still betting you Boise? He goes, they keep doing it. Like they're not even laying good numbers anymore, but they keep betting Boise.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that look at the line in the last game, which was closer to 13 when these two teams met earlier this season. And I mean, obviously UNLV has overshot expectations and played to a really high rating. But I mean, to go from 1.5 to 5.5, 6 with no resistance, it's usually not that easy, but it's not stopping anybody from just pounding Boise.
So what do you want to do with it?
I want to take the dog, to be honest with you. I mean, what do you think? Do you think they get blown out of this game? Because that's how it's being bet.
No, I don't think so, but there is the possibility if they play the kind of defense they played the last time around. They're a much different defense, but a lot of what they did in the first 8 games of the season, including when they lost up here by 25, was just mental mistakes. I mean, they could make the mental mistakes again, and then physically nothing matters if you don't have guys in the way to make tackles. I mean, it's simplifying things a lot, but they are capable of going back to that defense that was making a lot of mistakes.
Well, and the market is also looking that way, too, in terms of the total. You mentioned the lack of tackling and the poor defense. That's been another move in this game. 56.5 on the open, and now we're at 60. So they're betting the favorite, and they're betting the total over for sure. So expecting some fireworks tonight in Boise.
Okay, what are you looking for in the American game with North Texas and Tulane? Jeff says the wrong team is favored. Tulane's getting 2.
Yeah, Tulane's going to maybe go off the favorite. I see offshore books at 1 right now. I mean, this is moving in the last 10 minutes or so. So, you know, North Texas opens 3. Now we're 1.5, 1. I mean, kick off in about 2 hours and 20 minutes or so. And there's a chance that Tulane does go off the favorite. So if you like Tulane in the game, I would get in now while you still can at 1.5. I didn't bet that game, but I did. Look, I saw I saw there was a $100,000 bet on Kennesaw State -2. That's the Conference USA game tonight. Like, you want to talk about a big bet? Take some big balls to bet 100 dimes on Kennesaw State, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's awesome. What are Sharps doing? What are you hearing from Vegas on JMU and Troy? Obviously, there's a lot of people rooting against James Madison because they could wind up with the right breaks being another CFP representative from the Group of Six. They're laying 24 against Troy.
Yeah, to only get slaughtered by Texas Tech or Oregon, right? I mean, that's what would happen. That game would not be good, I don't think. Look, James Madison opened 21. And now as we look, hour 15 till kick, give or take, we're seeing 24.5 now. I mean, I won't lay 24.5 when I could have laid 21, 22, 23, right? Numbers do matter. And if this is 38-14 and you're laying 24.5, you're going to blame the hook. No, it's your fault because you got a bad number. I mean, I make the game 42-10, all that said, but I laid 23. We did bear bets yesterday. Show came out like 5 p.m. and it was JMU 23. Yeah, I was happy at 23. At 24 and a half, I just can't lay that number, Steve. But I do think you have to remember this conference, the Sun Belt, they still have divisions. So James Madison is not playing the second best team in the conference. They're playing the winner of that division, which is Troy. Old Dominion's the second best team. So this could get ugly for JMU and or for Troy, rather, because JMU is just so good and so talented. Again, I said 42 to 10, but I was laying 23, not 24 and a half.
Sammy, going to the kind of the forgotten game tomorrow morning for us out here on the West Coast, the MAC championship, Miami of Ohio and Western Michigan. Bronx, 2-point favorites in this one.
Jeff, I don't really love the game. 10 years ago when I was coming to Vegas as a youngster, I had a bookmaker tell me, just take the dog in the MAC title game every year. Okay. He goes, because nobody deserves to be favored. He goes, every year the same teams play, and the line is 2.5 or 3. And obviously he was being a little facetious because the teams do change. But here we go. South Point's got Western Michigan -2. So that very trite and true theory is just take the dog because no MAC team should ever be favored. I'm not going to bet the game. I don't feel like there's much of an edge in the MAC.
Let's go to the other game tomorrow morning in Arlington. BYU gets their crack, a second one at Texas Tech. Sam, first time we saw these teams play, BYU could barely move the ball. Texas Tech won by basically as little as they possibly could have. 13-point favorites the Red Raiders are in Arlington tomorrow.
So I'm going to take this a different way. I bet Texas Tech yesterday to win the whole thing at 12-1. In this game, look, I mean, we saw them play, as you mentioned. It's tough to watch that game and get excited to want to bet BYU because, you know, like Texas Tech, if it plays an A game, is going to blow them out. But I think Tech is as complete a team. You know, obviously Ohio State's very good. Indiana's very good. But offense, defense, special teams, I think Tech could be the best. And from a price standpoint, like when you go into Vegas and you look at the board and Ohio State is +180 and Indiana's 4-1 and then Tech is 12-1, I think that's mispriced. And I am invested on the Red Raiders to win the national title. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But at 12-1, I'm willing to find out.
Sammy, let's go to the SEC title game. Georgia-Bama 2.0. Of course, Kirby Smart has only beaten Alabama one time. Picked a good time to do it in that title game. Sammy, I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Alabama over the last month, and it feels like Georgia, last week notwithstanding, has just gotten better as the season's gone along.
Yeah, and Kirby's usually good in these rematches, you know, when they have a regular season tilt and then he has to play them again down the road. He's been historically successful in this spot. What I can tell you is I know some sharp guys that played first half over. So 23 up to 24 now across town in Vegas. They bet 23 and 23 and a half. Again, these guys know what they're doing. I get wind of their bets, and they win. Put it that way. So I have some 23 and a half in pocket. At 24, obviously, still a decent bet, I think. But that's what I thought was interesting in this game. They didn't want to touch the side. They played first half over 23 and 23 and a half.
Chicken Dinner Podcast is where you can hear Sam Paniatovich, Bet Sweats as well. Sammy P is up on ESPN Las Vegas. All right, Duke and Virginia, obviously the ACC very much, I'm sure, behind the scenes rooting for Virginia.
Wise guys are pounding Duke, man. Like, they're pounding them. You know, this was 4.5 Thursday morning. How about 2.5 now? How about a 2 offshore? It's just so wild because if you think about this from a conventional wisdom standpoint, wouldn't we all think that the ACC would like to have a playoff team, right? Like, yeah. We want to be in the playoff. Well, if Duke wins, the ACC might not get a playoff team. But saying that, it's like, well, why don't we just bet Virginia? Well, the market's betting the other side. So apparently wise guys are on Duke here. They took 4.5, 4, 3.5, and 3 on Duke. A 5-loss Duke team. That's what the money is talking about. The money is on Duke here.
Last one, college football title games. Ohio State down to 4, totals 47 against Indiana.
Dude, 3 and 2.5 now. Oh, actually, no, that's the first half market. No, I apologize. That's my bad. I got the wrong screen clicked. No, you're right. It's 4. I was still toggling off my first half to give you the right number in the SEC game. So I like the over, 47. Look, Ohio State's defense is really, really good. But have they played a good offense yet? I don't know. Like, I don't think we have that answer. And I do think Indiana has the ability to kind of make Ohio State work vertically and horizontally. Indiana's got some players. They have a good O-line. The quarterback could win the Heisman. They've got running backs and receivers that are going to play in the NFL. This is the best team that Ohio State will face, you know, to date. So at 47, I'm in on the over. And John Murray, Chris Andrews both told me that they've been taking a lot of sharp bets on the dog, 6, down to 5.5, to 5, to 4.5, to 4. So wise guys like Indiana, and I like, not that I'm a wise guy, I like the over, 47.
Sammy P on ESPN Las Vegas. I'm going to go off the game chart here for a second. You're usually pretty good. You and your buddies are pretty good at finding futures. Did you guys have any interest in betting any of the futures on the playoffs? Is there anything worth, you know, setting up a bet now for maybe a bet down the road?
Well, on top of the Texas Tech bet that I made at 12-1, I thought about, you know, the biggest conversation in college football right now is this Notre Dame-Miami thing. And I personally think Notre Dame is better. And Notre Dame is ahead in every poll, whether it be the top 25, the coaches, the college football committee, Vegas power ratings. Notre Dame's higher in all of them. But there's still a world where Miami sneaks in and kind of, you know, overlaps them in the final ranking. That number on Miami to make the playoff, it's been bet last few days, man, like 5-1 down to 450, 425. That was the other one that I considered. I didn't get there, but I know some guys I respect that did bet Miami to make the playoff, and they're hoping for some chaos in the final ranking show.
Yeah, I think the other interesting angle on this is the BYU people complaining about Notre Dame getting in instead of BYU and trying to put up a resume together. But when you talk to people in Vegas and what a possible number would be between Notre Dame and BYU, it's pretty sizable.
Yeah, I've got Notre Dame, 12 points better than BYU on a neutral. And that's probably light. I've been high on BYU all year, just a little high, and that's fine. I mean, that's my opinion. But, I mean, we're at least 12. Some would say 14 Notre Dame would be favored by.
Yeah, John Murray on Sunday morning told me it would be 14.5 because they have Notre Dame, you know, just ahead of Texas Tech, and obviously Texas Tech here is laying almost 2 touchdowns, so pretty crazy stuff, but that's not exactly how they determine who's in the CFP and who's not. Sam, we appreciate it, man. Know you had a day of days, so thanks for carving out some time for us.
All right, boys. Good luck, everyone.
There he is, Sam Panionovich. Bet Sweats, Chicken Dinner Podcast. Check out his Twitter account, at SPShoot. As he'll have his tip sheet back up there coming up next week. Today he got the runaround on some. I won't get into it, but anyway, he got a little busy today. All right, well, I haven't been outside. It looks like it's actually raining a little more heavily, but we'll get your weather update in a little bit. I'm going to be out there for about 4 hours, 5 hours tonight, so I'm not exactly ready to run out there. Jeff Parles. Jeff is hanging out inside of the cozy sports bar, the Golden Circle Sports Bar at Treasure Island. It's free to park there. A great setting, 55-plus TVs. The STN book is right there. And when you download the STN app, you do get up to a $50 no-worry wager. So sign up.